Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So with that said, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled right here, if you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. Amen. I've entitled this morning's, or afternoon now, this afternoon's message, Rewards of Faithfulness. Faithfulness. As you heard me share when we were at Pastor Rod, both of them, 87 years old, and still being faithful to the call. They're faithful to the ministry. They're faithful. Well, we're going to look in the Word of God to see a couple of kings that were faithful, because the majority of the kings were evil kings, and they were unfaithful. And when kings rose up that were unfaithful, God would have to bring harsh, remedial judgment. And it came swift, it came fast, it came harsh. And the final, I believe, straw that broke the camel's back with Israel was when they started throwing their babies in the fire. And when that took place, God rose up Babylon to come in and destroy Israel, took them into captivity for 70 years, and destroyed the temple. That's why we need to pray for our nation. Can I get an amen? How many believe that our nation is in dire straits right now? 70 million babies aborted. Don't you think the blood is on somebody's hands? To me, that's a nation that's unfaithful to those that are alive in the womb. And so God has something to say about that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And here we go. And it reads, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elam, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah." Verse 3. "And he did what was right." I want you to catch that. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. You see, when you do things right in the sight of the Lord, there are blessings. "He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Neshushtan." Look at verse 5. "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, said, so that after him was none like him among the kings of all Judah, nor were there before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses." Faithful. Hezekiah was faithful. Look at verse 7 here. "The Lord was with him." Say that with me. The Lord was with him. God will be with you if you're faithful. If you're unfaithful and have hidden agendas, God will depart. He'll withdraw. He'll stand back, and you're on your own. "The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory from the watchtower to the fortified city." You see, my friends, the process of the Christian life is just as important as the product of the Christian life. Did you catch that? the process and the product. You see, when we go through the process of being sanctified, set apart, there's an end product. The saint of God that has been set apart for His will and good purpose. How many of you want to be used by God? Okay, take heed to this message. As someone has said, right up here, look at this. Heaven is not our goal, it's our destiny. It is our destiny. It's not our goal. As a believer, we're going to end up in that place called heaven. And let me just say this. We cannot even comprehend the joy that is set before us. We can't even comprehend how it's going to be like when we're there with Christ. It's going to be unspeakable joy. We're going to be in that brand new body. We're going to have a brand new life. We're not going to need these organs that we have in our body right now. Our bodies will never fail us. There'll never be sorrow. There'll be no more crying. No more tears. No more diabetes and cancer. No more dementia. How many can't wait to see a world like that? Yes. Well, hang on. Hang on and remain faithful to God. In other words, saints of God, if we are born again and continue with Jesus Christ, reaching heaven is the ultimate end of our path. That's where I want to end up. How many of you want to end up there? Praise God. You see, my friends, we do not have to fret and to worry about whether or not we will make it to heaven if we continue with Christ faithfully. He's just looking to be faithful. Be faithful in the little that God has given you and watch Him do something spectacular in your life. The process of faithfulness will carry us through to the culmination of our relationship with Christ and Him alone. Praise God. So I need us to look at what unfaithfulness looks like so that we could look at what faithfulness is, and that is our goal, is to be faithful to God, faithful to one another, faithful to where God has called you. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this. Number one, results of unfaithfulness. Results. Now, I just shared with you what happened to Israel, but it was documented in the Word of God. Hosea wrote it down and said because Israel was unfaithful, God had to chastise them and bring destruction to them. Let me just say this. There are some things in people's lives where if they continue to go down a dark path, guess what's awaiting for them? Destruction. Destruction. So let's look at Hosea 4. Look at this. It's right here in the Word. Hosea 4, 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That has happened now to us, United States, in 1960. They removed the Bible teaching, the Bible out of the school. They removed prayer. And so now, fast forward from 1960 to 2024, we have colleges and high schools that are devoid of God. Their God is not in their midst. God's been removed. And so that was that a plot? Yes, that was a plot of the devil. It's not a political thing. It's a spiritual, demonic thing. See, if the devil can get you off of God's focus, then he has you. And then he'll capture you. And then he'll chew you up, spit you out, and you'll be useless for the master's hand. That's what he ultimately wants to do. Look at this. Verse 2. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Look what they were doing. They're cheating on one another. Bloodshed. They were killing one another. They were throwing their babies in the fire. Look at number 3 right here. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke one another. This is tough sometimes to read this, but God put it in His Word because what He says, He means. And what He means, He says. Can I get amen? Amen. We cannot contend and refute what God has written. Look what King Solomon wrote right here in Proverbs. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, we all know there's people in our life, and we don't have to say them out loud. We know that they're unfaithful. And we pray that God will give them a heart to repent, a mind to be saved. We know that. But God's going to deal harshly one day. And He's going to do it swiftly. He's going to do it unannounced. Because He doesn't have to consult with anyone. None of us. The Bible tells us that people who choose to be friends with the world are an adulterous people having enmity against God. Wow. The New Testament talks about unfaithfulness as well. Look at this in James 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Meaning there's a wall that you cannot pass over. God separates you from Him. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? What does that mean? That means if you are a true born-again believer and you choose to be part of the world at the same time, God will spit you out. Why? Because He's a jealous God. He saved you for Himself, not for one another. Because we're not going to go jointly together to heaven. It's a one-on-one personal relationship. So He saved each and every one of us individually for Himself, and He's a jealous God. And when you start allowing the world to come into your life, you're asking God to judge you now, not people. People can say anything they want to say to you. People may not even say anything to you, but God has the final say. You see, saints, the world here is the system of evil under Satan's control. Look what it says right here in John, right up here. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who's the ruler of this world right now? Satan is. He's the ruler of this world. And how can we prove that? Look at all the wars. Look at all the crime. Look at all the immorality in our nation. You think God's in control of it? No, God has nothing to do with that. He's allowing it for His purpose, though. God uses old Slewfoot to bring a righteous indignation so that when Jesus comes, He's going to destroy all that and set up His millennial reign. How many can't wait for that 1,000 years of heavenly bliss? It's coming. It's around the corner. I hope you know that. It's so close. It's so close. Look what Ephesians says right up here. In which you will, look at this. This is us. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the power of the air? Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Those people right now, they have no clue about God. They want no part of God. They don't want anything to do with church, Jesus, or anything else. They are what's called, according to the word, sons of disobedience. But you that are here, you guys love God. You wouldn't be here. In all the churches that are set up around our nation, those who come to hear God's word are the ones that love Him. Yes, there's some agendas. Everyone has their agenda. But the main point is You're coming because God has called you. God has saved us. Look at what it says in 1 John right up here. Look at this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows who you are. See, we know we are of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This is why everything on TV now is ungodly. Did you know it's ungodly? Our commercials, our pharmaceutical commercials, two men in a tub. Oh, come on. You know what I'm saying? It's wicked. But guess what? This is where you and I need to rejoice, because God saved us in this generation. Can I get an amen? He saved us for such a time as this. He saved us so that we would glorify Him, magnify Him, exalt His holy name, preach to the unsaved, be a light in the midst of darkness, be the salt of the earth. How many believe that's what God's called you to do? He didn't call us to be pew potatoes. Can I get amen? He called us to reach the lost at any cost. The world system, with its contrived and deceitful scheme of phony values, worthless pursuits, unnatural affections, is designed to lure us away from a pure relationship with God. That's the enemy's plan. So discern that. Discern that today. You see, my friends, spiritual adultery then is the forsaking of God's love and the embracing of the world's values and desires. Now, we're right now in this section of this study of unfaithfulness, but we're going to transition into those who are faithful. And that's where the good news comes for us. Can I get amen? Amen. Every time I bring a word, I'm going to show you what God sees, and then I'm going to show you what God has done with us. Can I get amen? Look at this in Romans 8, 7, 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Cannot please God. They just can't. And there's people that will forsake you for the pleasures of this world. What do you mean? Yeah. Look at 2 Timothy right up here. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from Thessalonica. There's people that'll depart because it's boring to them now. And they'll go somewhere else, and they'll go somewhere else, and they'll go somewhere else. In this case, Demas loved the world. He thought the world was more beneficial than to serve God alongside Timothy. But God wrote it down so we can see there's people that'll forsake you in a heartbeat. They'll just make up in their mind, I'm gone. And they'll forsake you. Don't let it offend you, though. Don't let it hurt you. You know why? Because God is the bishop and lover of our soul. God will restore anything that was taken from you. Anything that was removed in your life, God will restore, God will replace. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He will do that because He loves us. He loves us. And then we see in John, he wrote this on the island of Patmos. Sister Yolanda and I, we've been there. We've been to the island of Patmos. We did a side trip to Turkey. We went on a four-hour boat ride to the Grecian islands, and there was Patmos, and there was a cave, the only cave on that island, where John, the beloved, wrote Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of John. What? Look at this. do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Did you catch that? The world is passing away. Right before us, it's passing away. So you got to ask yourself, what are you doing in those clubs? What are you doing around those that are still drinking and smoking and toking and have that cursing foul mouth? You know, if you still have a foul mouth, something has not changed. Oh, I know that's hard. But you got to ask yourself, is the Holy Ghost living inside that will bridle my tongue? Because we can hurt folks. Did you know that the tongue is an unruly member? It's like a snake. It'll bite you. It'll snap and bite you. We got to guard our tongue. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Praise God. How many of you want to abide forever? Then do the will of God. Stay out of the club. Stay out of those who smoke and chew and do those things that do. Because there's folks that would want to bring you down. They want to try to conform you instead of God conforming you. Being an unfaithful person will always lead to ruin. Can I get an amen? Look at number two right here. God gave me this just about 2 days ago. Remove the idols that won't go away on their own. Did you catch that? There's idols in our life that won't go away on their own. You got to remove them. Oh, just God, just take this from me. Oh, God, I don't want to do this no more. Oh, God, I don't want to go. No. God is saying, okay. Have you tried removing them? Or do you love to entertain them? Can I get an amen? Saints, King Hezekiah, in the spirit and fashion of David's leadership, tore down the high places and broke the idolatrous images into pieces. He said, you know what? If I don't tear them down, then the whole nation is going to still look at these idols. So he had to physically go and tear them down. And this is God is saying to us, we got to go in our heart of hearts and tear down pornography, tear down idolatry, tear down those things, backbiting and gossiping, talking about one another, speaking about one another's character. We love to do that. That's an idol. We can talk somebody down quick and then walk away and not thinking that they're, man, we left them there bleeding. We got to tear down those idols in our life if we're going to say that we're called to be saints. Look at verse 2 right here. And 2 Kings 18, 3 and 4. And he did what was right. Say that with me. And he did what was right of the sight of the Lord. This is Hezekiah. Look at that. According to all his father David had done, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images, broke in pieces the bronze serpent and Moses made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Meaning they loved it. They were worshiping those things. I'm going to ask this question because I'm asking me the same question. This pertains to me too, not just you. What idol in your life that needs to be torn down because it interferes your walk with God? It interferes with your relationship with your spouse. It interferes with your relationship with your children. It interferes with your relationship on the job. What are the idols that stand in the way that God is saying, tear them down so I can use you to the fullest? What are they? You see, my friend, spiritual adultery includes any form of idolatry. In many places in the Old Testament, the children of Israel try to mix the worship of other gods, such as Baal. with that of God. I got proof. It's right up here. Look at this. In Judges 3:7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baal and Asherah. You know who Asherah is? She's the goddess of perversion. You see, how many of you read The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn? They're here again. Those evil beings are here again. In 1960, they removed prayer and Bible study out. So they did it intentionally to remove God from society. They moved the Ten Commandments out of the courts. So now, after they did that, no more than 5 years later, the hippie scene came. Love, peace, Bobby Sherman. You remember that? Then a whole influx of LSD and the hippie love movement came. Why? Because God was removed now. That was the plan. Let's remove God so we can bring all this ungodliness to pervert this nation. And then with that came immorality, came pornography. And now the devil has made it real convenient. Real convenient. No more do you have to hide to go into a theater like the one that was on National Boulevard in National City across from Mario's Pizza. Do you remember what that was called? The Paris what? The Paris blank theater. Now the ungodliness is on the phone. That's how convenient the devil made it. He's a sly one. I'm teaching you this to help you. There's no condemnation in this. Why? Because we see God doing something, and then how God will restore you when you learn to obey Him. It's all about obedience. Can I get an amen? It's all about obedience. Look at 1 Kings 16 right up here. Look at this. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he took as wife Jezebel and daughter of Itabai, king of Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Look at this in verse 32. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a woman. Look at this. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger all the kings of Israel who were before him. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this in love. If you want to kick God off your team, then turn to idolatry. That's how you get him out of your life. You turn to the things of the devil. You do those things that are ungodly, and he will depart. He'll just be a memory to you. You won't feel his anointing. You won't feel his presence. You won't feel the glory of God on you. You won't feel the anointing that was flowing through you. Mm-mm. This is what happened to Israel. And this is what happens to Christians who learn to disobey God no differently. Look at Jeremiah 19:5. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire and burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. God said that. And so we look at this, and God dealt with them harshly. And now in our day and time, 70 million babies aborted, and the blood is spilling, has spilt on the ground. Let me ask you this. Do you think God's going to take vengeance on that, or he's just going to wink and let it go? What I've learned about God, he's long-suffering. He's patience. You know why? Because he doesn't live in our realm. He lives in a realm that has no clocks. But when he comes into our realm, he does things suddenly. And he does things according to his calendar. on his appointed times. Praise God. Saints, I know that God is a good God. And God is gracious. And I want to look at this now. Let's go right here. Look at this. Number 4. God is gracious and rewards his people with favor, mercy, and grace that are faithful to him. Because let me just say this. If you learn to be faithful to him, then it will spill into your life and you'll learn how to be faithful to one another. You can't be faithful to one another and thinking it's okay, but you're not faithful to him. It's got to start with God. Our years of 27 years of marriage is because we put God first. We've always put God. This is what I try to teach in our premarital classes. Put God first. Put God first. I'm going to be a broken record, but put God first. And then allow him to work in your life. Allow him to remove the dross that we acquire in this life. It's like fleas on a dog. They just jump on them. Well, things jump on us too. And we got to get them off. Can I get amen? Saints, the best definition of the word favor is this. Demonstrated delight. That's what God, when you have the favor of God, it's demonstrated delight. He demonstrates his delight in our life when you have his favor. And how many of you want the favor of God? Amen. Every one of us do. We want his favor. Well, guess what? Learn to do the things he's calling you to do. Remove those high places in your life. Tear down those strongholds. Ask God to remove those things that interfere with your walk with him. You see, the favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. And I'm going to go on the record to say that for the 35 years that God has allowed me to walk as a Christian, he has shown me his favor. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of physical ailments, even in the midst of sometimes I may think of something that's ungodly, I may see something that's ungodly. Here's what works for me, which works for anyone, is you repent and turn away from it and give it to God. Can I get amen? That's going to be your solution, is to repent right away. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short. But God's saying, repent. Turn from that right now. Give it to him. And God will do something miraculous. When we favor someone, we want to be with him or her. We delight in him or her, right? We get that. We connect with him or her. We don't connect with everyone. There's certain people that you will connect with. We usually favor people who also favor us. It's kind of like human nature. But in the same way, God shows favor to the ones who delight in, who connect with, who give honor to him. Because that's what Isaiah says. The book of Isaiah says that. Look at this right up here. In Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built for me? And where is my place and my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite heart and who trembles at my word. You want favor? Operate like this. You want favor from God? Operate like this. This is your manual script right here. You want favor from God? Humble yourself. Come to him in a contrite heart every day. Wake up, oh God, mercy for me today. Thank you for another day. Oh, God, I look forward to serving you, God. Oh, God, keep my heart right before you, God. Help me continue to love my wife. Help me continue, for those of you that are married, to love your spouses. It's easy to get mad. It's easy to say something negative that will come out. But you know what? God says, but on this one, I will look on him who is poor. You know what poor means? Not that you don't have any money. You're poor in spirit and you need him. You're bankrupt without God. You need him. You need him more than your next breath. Poor and a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. If you don't take God's word seriously, he can do nothing for you no more at that point. Look at this in Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Are you loyal to God? If you're loyal, you'll learn to be faithful. And if you're faithful, watch all the blessings chase you. Watch all the favor of God upon your life. That's the key right here. Saints, to be perfect toward him means we seek his favor more than we seek the favor of anyone else or even ourselves. It's about seeking his favor. Look at this in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Did you know that God gave us salvation freely? He didn't tell you to go to Sweetwater's football field and run 200 laps, and then I'll think about your salvation. He didn't ask you to do 400 push-ups and 600 sit-ups, and then let me think about it. No. We came humbly, yet boldly, to the throne room of grace. Saints, we know the favor of God without faith. It is impossible to please God. Did you know that we need faith to believe everything that's written in the Word? You have to believe it. There's some people that don't like Bible study. There's some people that, you know what, they love the worship, but they won't sit down to hear a study. I've seen this in 17 years of ministry. I don't know why this happens. I don't have a clue. But I'm here to let you know, learn to love the Word. Learn to love the Scriptures, because it is written. It is written. It is written. It's the living Word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. God is saying, fall in love, and it takes faith to believe everything that's written. Everything, all the Scriptures that I'm reading, you have to have faith to believe it. Well, I think that was just back then. Really? Well, this is what Hebrews says right up here. Look at this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. My question is, are you diligently seeking him every day? Let me just say this. Even in the midst of what's happening in our nation right now, the inflation, you just sent me a video that confirmed what Mark Biltz taught. There's 3 million illegal immigrants that have crossed the border now. And 30,000 are Chinese that are 25 to 35 fighting army men. They're here now. Soldiers. They're in our country now. And they're all setting up for a suddenly. For a quick suddenly. Look what happened to Israel October 7th. It was a suddenly. Those barbarians came in that day and massacred, what, almost 2,500 people. They raped the women. I'm gonna be profound here. They raped the women. Then they cut off their heads. And then they opened up the bellies that were pregnant, took the babies out and cut off the babies' heads. They did that. It was a suddenly. And now we've got terrorists in our country waiting for the word. Why is God allowing that? Because 70 million has been aborted and no one's crying out for them. The church is not praying for them. Is the church crying out for those babies? Come on, ask yourself, how many sermons have you gone to? How many churches have you visited? Are they crying out for those babies? None of them are. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Can I get an amen in the house? I don't care if there's five left. It don't matter. Because only one he's taken. What I mean is, it's a personal. He's going to take you. And no one can hold on to your skirt going into heaven. He's going to take you and you alone. So it's time to get right or get left. Can I get amen? Amen. It's really, really, we're at the time now that we really need to take heed what's going on. It's right in real time, right before us. Man, that video was an eye-opener. 3 million has crossed. And 3,000. And then there was 4,000 from Afghanistan here. They're all here. They all have got orders. They've got marching orders. They're not here to have a good life. They didn't come here with women. They didn't come here with children. They came by themselves. And someone said Friday night, it's a Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse. And when that suddenly comes, where's your relationship with Christ? Get ready. Because he's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can fight for us. He's the only one that can take us out when he needs to take us out. But we're living in those times. We're living in the days that Israel went through and how God has warned them again. Let me just say this, and we'll move on and close. Tel Aviv in Israel is the number one homosexual city in the world. Second comes San Francisco. There where you'll find all the homosexuals, the transgenders, the sex traffickers, the pedophilers, all those wicked things are in those cities. And I got a firsthand look when we was in Seattle. It's like, oh my God. It was, oh my gosh. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And no one's talking about it. Life goes on. Oh, because nothing's happened yet. Wait till it happens. Wait till it hits the fan. My, it's going to be a suddenly. It happened to Israel. I believe it's going to happen to us if this nation doesn't repent. You see, the Bible says in Psalms, right up here. No, look at this. Oh, yeah, let me go back here to Romans. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Meaning, we didn't earn our salvation. It was graciously given to us by faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. And Philippians says this, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. By faith. You see, God seeks out those who love him and love his commands so that he can bless, guide, and protect them. That's why, did you know that God saved you to bless you? How many believe that? He saved you to bless you? You know why? Because before we came to him, we were headed to hell anyway. We were headed there. He saved us to bless us so that he would be exalted in our life, that we could proclaim him to an ungodly and a dark world. We could tell people, guess what the Lord has done for me? We need to let people know what he's done for us, what he can do for them. A lot of them are bewildered. A lot of them don't know. They see what's going on, but they have no clue. But we know the truth. Look at this. Well, look at what King David wrote up here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. When we slip and fall, when we make mistakes, he picks us right back up. He dusts us off. He says, go, hallelujah, and continue what I called you to do. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. See, God wants to do something beyond yourself. Because we can't do anything without him. But he wants to use you like no other. And the way he's going to use you is through this. Speak the word in truth and love. And do the things that he's called you. Because all that we go through in life is right up here. Look at this. And we know that all things, say that with me, all things work together for good to those who love God. That's the key to those who love God. Not those who know God, those who love God. To those who are called according to what? His purpose. You want God close to you? Do you want him really close to you? King David wrote it best. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. That means stay humble before him. Stay humble before him. It's easy to point out people's flaws. It's easy to downcast someone. But just remember this. You see me do this up here. The moment I start doing this, there's three fingers looking right back at me. Examine yourself before you start rebuking someone. Can I get amen? You better examine yourself. You better be right before God before you start rebuking someone. And know that their struggle to remain true to him will not go unrewarded. Did you know that God's going to reward each and every one of us? How many want rewards from him? Amen. No, it's not hitting the lotto. It's not living on Sugar Hill. It's not a picket fence. In a retirement home? No. He's going to bless us beyond our comprehension. Just to know that I'm going to be with him forevermore brings such great joy. Doesn't it bring great joy to you? Look at this right up here. And whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. God's going to reward us. I need you to catch this. Everything that you have done thus far, everything you have done since you've been saved, he has put it now in account toward you. And when we stand before the Bema seat of Christ, What is the bema seat of Christ? It's not about salvation. All believers, when we come up to heaven, we're going to stand at the bema seat. This is not, once again, this is not the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is those who died in unbelief and they get tossed into the lake of fire with the devil. The bema seat of Christ is all the believers who stand before God as he's giving out rewards to you. And some are going to go through hay and stubble, gold and bronze and silver. And some people may just get in and they just got saved. It says you may not get gold and silver or hay, wood, and stubble. But it says, but they will be saved. Listen, I'm just going to say this as politely as I can. Don't get into heaven and you got in there and there's smoke behind you. I didn't think I was getting in, but I got in. Listen. You want to go in there knowing that, man, God, I served you with my whole heart. And if you give me a bowl of menudo, I'm good with it. Right, sister? Listen, I know we can kid up here, but God's going to reward each and every one of us beyond our comprehension, beyond. And so, God wrote this best right here. Look at this, in Revelation. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. He told his disciples that they were going to suffer some things. Did you know that some of us are suffering in our flesh? Come on, let's be real. But God knew that. God knew that he was still going to save us. He goes, do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in, even into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, because I have given you a crown of life. Be faithful. That suddenly is coming to our nation. Are you going to be faithful to God? We have to be faithful to God. We have to be faithful to God. Blessed, look at this. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not, what? Impute their sin upon them. Praise God. Praise God. And so be like King David. I got two scriptures to cover and we'll close. Be like King David. King David said it best. Look at this. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. And I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. That's what Sheol means. He has delivered us from hell. You know, when I first got saved, until today as I'm speaking this, I could only think in my mind of doing backflips. I can't physically do a backflip. But in my mind, I'm always doing backflips because he saved me from hell. I know where I was going. I was headed, come on, many of us were headed at that same crooked path, weren't we? And then God came and snatched us out and says, man, I've chosen you for such a time as this. So we are not to fear what's coming. Can I get amen? And that's what Isaiah says. Look at this. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. This is the confidence that we have in God as a believer, that He will always uphold us. I can't say that for the unbeliever. God has to deal with them all by Himself. All we can do is be a witness. All we can do is share, teach, sow into their life. The Bible says some water and some sow seed. What does that mean? When you sow the Word of God into their life, the Word of God is planted. Then somebody else will come alongside and share the same Word and water that seed. But only God can give the increase. You know that old saying? We could lead a horse to the well, but we can't make them drink. It's got to be God. And when you've done all that you've done, stand. Stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. Learning. Look at this. And I close with this scripture. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for such a time as this. We know, God, that time is running short. We see the writing on the wall. We see when Nebuchadnezzar saw the handwriting on the wall. And the invading army was coming to take away his throne. We see these things coming to our nation, but yet you have a plan. You have a plan for your church. You have a plan for your people. You have a plan for the nation of Israel. You have a plan. And God, we thank you. We thank you because you are a mighty God, a wonderful God. You're the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. You are the Bishop and lover of our soul. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the bright and morning star. You are the star of Sharon. You are the blessed hope. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have done so much for each and every one of us. Let us never forget that whatever we go through in life, you are with us. That you will never leave us nor forsake us. That you would always watch over us. Even through our mistakes, our faults and failures, you are there with us. You knew the issues we would see before you saved us. You knew already what you were saving, and here we are. We're here at your mercy. We're here because you called us. And now we can honestly say, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you for everything you have done. Oh God, I'm praying for those who are watching right now. Maybe they never given their heart to you. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, this is your opportunity to surrender your life to the living God. We just read that it doesn't take a whole lot other than your faith. Faith believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and that he rose again on the third day to give you life and life more abundantly. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do the miraculous in your heart by faith. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy?
Amen.
Is he worthy? Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.